Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And we thank you, everybody, for joining us this Monday. Getting ready for a new start, new opportunity.
It's a new opportunity?
Yes. I'm just channeling my inner Joel Osteen there. It's a new day, Ed.
It's all
positive.
It's a new day. I know you're...
It's a Monday, but every day's Friday.
I know why you're feeling positive. You got to play some golf.
I did yesterday.
And the weather looks like it's going to be warming up. So
yeah,
might be more golf.
More opportunities for me to hit balls into the water.
Right. I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's wild.
Honesty.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad bought a golf game for a computer. It was like Microsoft Golf something. And I didn't understand the rules of golf at the time, and I beat my two brothers. I finished with like a 96, and it was like, I won! And then my brother was like, no.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
96. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We've got a lot of current news to discuss, but before we do that, we have a guest.
Yeah, we do. Eric Metaxas, who is a New York Times number one best-selling author. He's the author of several books, a couple that we'll probably discuss today, one of which is the book Letter to the American Church. Eric is also the driving force behind a documentary with the same title, Letter to the American Church. And folks, it is about some hair-raising trends in our country and trends that might completely engulf and devour the church and lead us into a political dark age. Eric, I hate to kind of be a Debbie Downer talking about those kinds of things, but first of all, welcome to Today's Issues. And is it really that grim?
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, the bad news and the good news are the same news. This is happening now. If you're not aware of it, you're helping make it happen. But most people listening to us right now know that there are dark forces at work in our time, really trying to silence the voice of the church, trying to silence God's voice in America. They're working overtime. They're working inside many churches. But the good news is that things have gotten so bad that many people are waking up. Praise the Lord. Many people are finally waking up and saying enough is enough. We need to take a stand. We need to get involved. We need to get involved in our political election. We need to get involved in everything because the forces that are trying to shut the voice of God and the voice of the church, they have, in a sense, outed themselves. It's gotten so dramatic. All you need to do is look around, watch the news. I can't watch the news because it's so disturbing. But the fact is, it is good for us to see what is happening, to understand that God calls his church to be the front line in fighting against whether it is corruption, anti-Christian values. God puts us here to work for his purposes in our time. And my book, Letter to the American Church, and the documentary film, Letter to the American Church, it's about getting the church activated and saying, hey, church, you can't just say I believe stuff. You have to live out your faith. You've got to go to a church that is in the battle. And the reason I wrote the book, Letter to the American Church, is because what happened, a lot of people are familiar with my book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What's happening now in America with the American church, and it's been happening for a while, is exactly what happened to the German church. The German church was silent in the face of evil. They said, you know what? We just want to do church. We don't want to get involved in any of this controversial stuff. We just want to preach the gospel. Well, here's the problem. That's not biblical. And if you're going to a church that is saying that that's biblical, it is not biblical. Churches need to be in this battle just as it's easy for us now to judge the German church, to look back and say, how could they not see that it was their job, that God called them to stand against the creation of the Nazis. The Nazis were trying to take over the church. The Nazis were trying to shut up the church. And they went along with it long enough till the Nazis succeeded. And by the way, it wasn't the Nazis who succeeded. It was the devil who succeeded working through the Nazis, just as it's the devil now working through, you know, woke ideology, corporations, the media, to shut down the voice of God's church. It is happening right now. And as I say, the good news is that it's gotten so bad that people who before were sleeping are beginning to wake up. The film, Letter to the American Church, we're offering it free to any church in America that wants to do a free screening, absolutely free. If you want to see it on your own, you got to pay $5 or $9.99 or whatever it is. If you go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com, you can see all that. But any church that wants to screen this and wants to be a part of what I believe God is doing in America, it is 100% free. Lettertotheamericanchurch.com is the website.
I have a question. This is Chris here. We're talking about this at a time in which millennials and Gen Zers are poised to become, if they're not already, the largest voting bloc in the electorate. Obviously, millennials, Gen Zers are the future of the church. So how important is it that we have not only our elders watch this, but we get as many young people in the congregation to view this and to know what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, to my mind, this is God's message to his church. The Lord is always speaking, you know, through prophets like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is Bonhoeffer. How do I put it? Bonhoeffer was speaking to the German church. And what he was trying to say, he was saying, church, wake up. Church, you need to stand. You need to pay a price now and stand against this evil. And they said, you know what? We're not interested. We just want to do church. We don't want to get involved in that controversial stuff. He tried to get them to understand biblically, this is what God is calling you to do. This is not some political thing. This is not, you know, Christian nationalism or whatever term the left is throwing at Christians to shut them up. He said, this is God's mandate. And I think that there are young people, they look around, they see things happening, and they need their elders, in a sense, to tell them, we need you. We need you in this fight. And so the film, it's only an hour long. It's an amazing film. I mean, I didn't make the film. I wrote the book, Letter to the American Church. The folks who made the film, they did such a great job. And it really makes the case that the church must stand. And I tell you, the hour is very late. The hour is very late. In Germany in 1933, when Hitler took over, they had about 2 years, not even. And Bonhoeffer could see the window is closing. If the church doesn't, you know, get up now and do what it needs to do now and link arms against this evil now, in a couple of years, we're not going to have the opportunity. If we wake up 2 years from now, it's going to be over. The train left the station. That's where we are in America. I have a sense of urgency about this because I believe it's the Lord's urgency. I think that the Lord's will is that the American church would wake up, and he's allowing all of the wickedness that we're seeing on every front. I mean, you could talk about any part of the news and you're seeing madness, corruption, lying from our government, censorship from our government, selective, using the law against some people and not against other people. Any American with eyes to see is seeing this stuff. It is the church's job. If you're going to a church that's not interested in this, I would get out of that church yesterday. I would not go to a church. I would not tithe to a church that is not in this battle, because it's the Lord's will that his church be living out its faith, not talking about it, not just saying I believe it in my head. You need to live it out. And there are people all over the country who are looking to Christians. Are you going to live out your values? Are you going to stand against this madness? If you are, I'm interested in going to your church, but I'm not interested in going to a church that is just business as usual, just playing the game. We're just going to sing some songs and have a sermon that doesn't touch on any of this stuff because we want to play it safe. You know, we don't want the government to come after us. We don't want to be censored. If you're playing that game in your church, I would say, folks, get out of that church before it's too late. And it's just about too late.
Our guest is Eric Metaxas, who's a New York Times number one bestselling author. He wrote the book Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Captain Optimism. is how
well, yeah, I guess the lateness of the hour is what drives his passion. He's also the author of the book Letter to the American Church, and a new film has been produced based on that book by the same title. Eric,
let me just say that sounded disrespectful to what Eric's saying. I don't mean to sound that way. I agree with him 100% completely. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. It's the same message that Eric's getting out on this with the book.
I mean,
the video.
Thing is, you know, interestingly, I am hopeful because, I mean, I'm in Albuquerque right now. I live in New York City. I'm in Albuquerque. Last night, we did a free screening of this film, Letter to the American Church. There were 3,000 people in this church for the screening. There are people so hungry for this. So my optimism is that, number one, I know the Lord's will is that the church wake up, that the church in America not miss it the way the German church missed it. The downside is if we don't wake up, if we do miss it, it is just what you said at the beginning of the segment. It is the dark ages. We're not going to have a voice in America. It's going to be a bleak, atheistic, Marxist kind of world in which we live. But I know it's not the Lord's will that we get on that path. And when people say, you know, it's over. We can't pull out of the death spiral. I rebuke those voices. That's the voice of the devil that says, do not do anything. There's nothing you can do. It's already been decided. That is cynical. That's nihilistic. It's the Lord's will that we wake up, we fight. I mean, if you said to George Washington in 1776, hey, how's it going, George, you know? It was not going well in 1776, but he believed that the Lord was with them in the cause of liberty, and that if the Lord was with them, they would fight on and fight on, and if the Lord wanted to give them the victory, he would give them the victory. We know he gave them the victory, he gave us the victory. That's the Lord's will, and so I'm optimistic, but the church has to fight, has to get engaged, and anybody who says, well, we don't want to do that, I would run from those voices, because that's exactly what the devil wants. It's what the devil wanted in Germany. Just keep the church sleeping for another year or two, and we will take over. They took over. We saw what happened. I don't believe that's the Lord's will for America. I don't believe it's done, but we have to wake up.
Eric, last question. Do you think it's too much to suggest, do you think it's hyperbole to suggest that if America falls in the way you're describing it, Western civilization as a whole goes with it? Or is that just hyperbole?
There is no doubt. This is God's order, right? That the Lord, first of all, as America goes, the world goes. There's no way around that. There is no other America waiting in the wings. There's China waiting in the wings, where if you do not support the atheistic views of the government, they will put you in a concentration camp. They will harvest your organs if need be to make money. They have zero biblical values in a place like China. If we do not stand in America, yes, the whole, if you care about people around the world, you need to care about America. And then if you want to know, how does America stand? It is the church in America. As the church in America goes, so goes America. Alexis de Tocqueville saw that in 1826. He came over here and he said, I've never seen anything like this in Europe. In America, liberty and Christian faith go hand in hand. Where the churches flourish, liberty flourishes. This is an amazing thing. How do they do it? Well, that is the story of America. And of course, we want the whole world to be that way. But unless we stand strong and hold up the torch of liberty in this nation, the world goes down. But at the center of that has always been the American church. So anybody who's listened to the siren song that, oh, the church is supposed to just be theological, just preach the gospel, that is absolute nonsense. It is not biblical. If it were biblical, I would just say do it. But it's not biblical. The Lord wants us to use our voices for his purposes. And there is no doubt that he has given the American church this, you know, responsibility. We've been mightily blessed in this nation, but we have a gigantic responsibility. We're to stand. The Lord has blessed us to be a blessing. And if we squander that blessing and say, I just want to be blessed. I just want to do church. The Lord says, no, I have called you to be my voice in your generation. And I really think that things had to get this bad with corruption and censorship and all the stuff we're seeing, transgender lunacy. All this bad stuff, is the Lord is using it to wake people up who would still be asleep. So I am actually very hopeful. What I saw last night, I mean, to see 3,000 people turn out for a screening of a film, And I said, any church in America that wants to do this, the film is free to any church. If you go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com, there's resources, there's all kinds of stuff there. But, you know, it's about getting this message out. It's about saving America for God's purposes. So I'm hopeful, genuinely.
Well, Eric Metaxas has been our guest. He's author of Letter to the American Church. Folks, pick up a copy of that book as well. But certainly go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com to find out how you can watch this critically important video. Eric, not only thank you for being on with us, but thank you for all you're doing to try to keep America from falling into the same trap as the Germans did in the 1930s.
Yeah, well, you know, apart from the church, a lot of people listening right now, you are the church. And so, you know, you could be the one that's the tipping point. So I want to encourage everybody to be hopeful, do what you can, and trust the Lord with the results. And thank you guys for having me on. It's a privilege to talk with you.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Eric Metaxas, everybody. So, and you're right, Tim, that is why we exist. We and have existed. Your dad foresaw these kinds of trends way back in the late 70s and started a ministry that is still going strong 45 years later because he foresaw the darkness that was just coming down the road.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly right. And I remember my dad, Don Wildman, the founder of this ministry, he used to publish the Humanist Manifesto. And if you don't know what that is, it's kind of the Bible for secular progressivism, okay? Humanism is the belief that man is God. It's atheistic, or at least agnostic at best. But man is God, and man makes his own rules, and we make them up as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whatever popular culture teaches and trends it adapts. So, and that affects the church as well. So things like the Ten Commandments, for example, or the Sermon on the Mount, for example, those things which are eternal, and they are, what do you call them? It's fixed morality.
Right.
Given to us by God. Those things are thrown out the window because man, by man I'm speaking generically here, rejects those things because man does not want to live by God's rules.
Right.
And does not want to adhere to God's rules, nor does he want to acknowledge God.
Right. Right out of Romans 1.
Bingo. So, yeah, when that happens on a broad, large scale, then you're right. Darkness does descend upon the land. And in this case, it's our beloved America. We see darkness descending. It's kind of like the sun's going down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so we're trying, Eric Metaxas, we and others are trying to engage Christians, call Christians to get involved, because if we don't stand up, nobody will.
Right.
Nobody will. And here's the thing. We've had this American experiment for, what, over 200 years now? 240, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at history, civilizations don't last forever. And 240 years is a small window of time in world history, actually. But never in human history has there been a place like America that is that has so much freedom for the individual, and liberty and prosperity, and scientific, what am I trying to say, accomplishments, medicine, business. Why do you think millions of people are still trying to come to our country now? And they don't care if they get here illegally. They just want in.
Right.
They just want in. What to do about that issue aside, I'm talking about why are they motivated to travel from right. around the world to come here? Because the whole world wants to be like America, in the sense that they want those things I just mentioned a few minutes ago, because that's good for humankind. It's good
yeah.
for mankind.
Yeah.
And so if we lose those things, we will lose freedom. We will lose liberty. And the political left in this country, I'm sad to say this, maybe not all of them, they are the enemy too, because they want to see us shut down.
Yeah.
If they had their way, because we don't conform to their progressivism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if they're doing everything they can. That's what Eric Metaxas was talking about. The secular political left in this country doing everything they can to shut us down. And they will do more if they can. That's why if we don't stand up at this time, in this moment in time, we will lose our freedoms and our liberty.
I would encourage everybody.
That's chapter one.
Regardless
chapter
of
two,
the TWV.
As Tim reads his own book. Go ahead.
I would encourage everybody, all of our listeners, regardless of age, to actually read your Bible and know what it says. Don't fall for what someone says the Bible says, even on Facebook. Know what Scripture says, as good as and as entertaining as TV shows and films about Jesus and all the disciples are. And I watch them. Your best source of knowledge about Scripture is going to come from God's Word itself. The left, the radical left, only wants to mention or give nod to the Bible when they're trying to get something done. You should love your neighbor.
Right.
Embrace their living because God is love. Okay, let's figure out what God says about that relationship and then juxtapose that, if that's the correct word, with what they're wanting to get done. Because if we're going to engage the public, and I believe we should, we need to know what God says so we can accurately share that with people and not fill their head with a bunch of gobbledygook like a lot of people in churches and seminaries are filled with today.
And that's why our mission here, in fact, our AFA's mission statement says that we exist to inform, equip, and activate believers to impact the culture and to give aid to the church, both here and abroad, in fulfilling the Great Commission. We agree with what Eric Metaxas was just sharing. We absolutely believe in preaching the gospel. And we have Bible shows and Bible teaching show programs on our network. We have resources that are made available to people, books by Alex McFarland, for example, that talk about what the Bible says. We are absolutely in favor of fulfilling the Great Commission. But what we're saying is being salt and light, which is what Jesus also said, is also critically important, especially in a culture where we have had tremendous amounts of freedom, are in danger of losing it, but have the political ability to stop that from happening.
Right.
So we're not living under a dictatorship yet. So why wait until we are to start complaining about it?
What was it like in the 70s for you guys when you were growing up? I mean, did they get into the, we need to be politically active? Or is that, I mean, well, obviously abortion was relatively new in terms of a national policy.
Well, there were plenty.
Yeah.
There are other groups besides AFA that, you know, there's the Eagle Forum. And
prior to probably 1980 with Reagan, Ronald Reagan, became the president, he was favored by conservatives and conservative Christians all over the country. But for much of our country's history, Christians have been divided on Republicans and Democrats, you know, equally divided. I mean, because most of your issues didn't have, maybe prior to Goldwater, where communism was a big issue, most issues didn't involve promoting and exalting things that are opposed to God directly from the Bible.
That's a good point. How do we spend our money? Is it guns or butter?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But when the government started promoting outright unrighteousness, Christians became concerned enough to get involved.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our thanks to Eric Metaxas for being our guest. The film and the book we were talking about is the Letter to the American Church, which is the number one New York Times bestseller. We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chance at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so please be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris, thank you for listening to AFR. So I saw over the weekend former President Trump has got a new line of sneakers. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we in the South call tennis shoes. We call everything tennis shoes or tennis shoes. Some people do, but the sneakers is how they're known universally. Have you seen this?
I have.
Yes, they're gold, and do they have the Trump T on them or something?
I've seen some. Yes, they do. I'll share a picture.
Okay, he was in somewhere, Philadelphia or somewhere.
Sneaker Con.
Is that what it's called?
The event he was at.
Sneaker Con.
Yeah, this was in association with the release of these sneakers, tennis shoes, whatever. This was the first I'd ever heard of Sneaker Con.
Yeah, it was news.
I mean, I've heard
of
Comic Con, you know, for comics and et cetera, but not
That's
Sneaker
for communists,
Con.
Didn't it?
Comic Con. There may be a few communists mixed in, but it's mostly nerds.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Sneaker Con is apparently a global traveling event for sneakerheads of all ages. You can buy, sell, and trade, meet influencers, get sneakers authenticated, and more.
Diane and I were in California for something. I forget. I think we had gone out to see our daughter who was living at the time at Huntington Beach. But Diane and I were staying at a hotel, and adjacent to it was a Comic-Con gathering, a convention. And every time we went somewhere in the hotel, there were all these young people, and some of them probably not so young, but all dressed up as comic characters and you know, Star Wars and stuff. And it was pretty fun. I enjoyed looking at them, but we were dressed like normal people, or as normal as we ever dress. But
that's funny. I know what you're talking about.
I've never been.
I haven't been either. But it's kind of like conventions, like you say, for nerds. People are into comic strips or comic games or
movies
video games
or
movies and things, old TV shows and things of that nature. All right. So you haven't bought your Trump shoes yet?
No.
They're sold out.
If you can find some, and I'm sure there's probably someone today on a social media platform near you that's selling what should be
$399. Oh, so just a few dollars more than regular tennis shoes. Yeah.
There's some entrepreneur probably my age or younger on Facebook Marketplace today selling gold Trump sneakers and a Stanley mug.
Yeah, those Stanley mugs are the rage. They're kind of like the Cabbage Patch dolls of 2020.
See, I don't know. What are y'all talking about? I don't know.
Those Stanley, for your drinks, they keep your drinks cold or hot.
Stanley used to do power drills.
Yeah, those still do.
Power.
They're kind of, you know, like our AFR travel mug.
Yeah.
These are bigger.
Huge.
But they're for some reason, Stanley is like the gold standard of those kinds of travel
Since we're talking about Stanley mugs, there was a story a couple of weeks ago, and our own Dr. Jessica Peck has written a blog about this. I'll share that link here in a minute. But apparently the whole fanaticism or fad over Stanley mugs has gotten so bad that in places, middle school girls are being made fun of because they don't have a Stanley mug, or they have like the knockoff version that mom or dad thought was a better buy.
Right.
And it's gotten to the point where girls are being shamed and bullied in school because they don't have a Stanley mug. And our own Dr. Jessica Peck did actually address that a few days ago.
You know how you reach – I'm sorry, go ahead, Ed.
I was going to say human beings are so stupid. I mean, we are so
– that'd be a good title for a book.
Yes. We're just so easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. And the fact that young people in America are being mocked – for not having the right stainless steel drink holder, I don't know. I'm liable to. I sound like the old guy. Hey, on the porch. Hey, you kids, get off my grass. But human beings, you know, are just so easy.
I was thinking. So I'm looking up this Stanley mug now. Mm-hmm. I see what you're talking about here. So that those are all the rage now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you go to a sporting event, girls or boys, you're going to see the whole bench using these things with their big plastic straw.
Okay. I saw a video a couple of weeks ago where some store had a bunch of them. They had a pallet of them. Mm-hmm. In the, I forget which. It was a Costco-type thing or whatever. Some guy comes in and tries to take a whole box of them out the door. He's just walking out with them. And people were so angry. You know how, like, most of the time when someone steals a bunch of stuff, people just stand around videoing on their cameras. The people jumped the guy. It's like, oh no, you're not. You're not taking these. We came here to buy them.
Now, I thought Yeti was the big thing.
Oh, that's yesterday's news.
Oh, poor Tim.
Stanley, it's Stanley today. Something else 6 months from now.
You know,
look at $1,000 custom promotional Stanley travel tumbler, $1,059. Now most of them are $40 and $50, but
you know, I'll be 61 next month. I'm living in sort of the twilight zone personally, because I now see before my very eyes me moving from knowing what's going on in pop culture,
right,
to not having. You know the progressive insurance, you becoming your parents?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
that's me. I could star in that. Huh? I'd never heard of Stanley before you guys started talking about it,
so
right here.
You know you're getting old, though, Tim.
Yeah.
When you not only don't know what's going on, you don't care.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you go, I don't care. Yeah. I don't even want to learn it.
People start talking about Taylor and music, and I'm going, James Taylor's still out there? Still touring?
That's right.
And they're going, then the young people go, who?
James Taylor is probably playing at a liberal event near you, because more often than not, he is brought in by John Kerry and the Biden administration to play at like a Democratic rally. And they love some fire and rain, which is funny because they're concerned about fire and rain with climate change, but whatever.
Yeah, but they're not worried about the kind that took out Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's true.
That's the kind I'm worried about.
Hey, we're going to fly James Taylor all over the world to play at our benefit concerts and spew emissions everywhere.
That's right.
All right. So I learned something today. Okay. Stanley mug. And Yeti is yesterday's news.
$1,000 for one of those.
I was going to ask y'all, have y'all ever special. Heard of a Yeti mug? I guess that's, I shouldn't even ask that now.
You know what? I didn't even buy one of those, the Yetis.
We got a couple of those because.
You were younger then.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can go to Love's or one of those truck stops and get you one of those giant, like, 67-ounce plastic things for $9.
All right, Chris, next story.
All right. Let's mention this, because Eric, at the beginning of the show, Eric Metaxas talked about how China wants to take over the world. And here's...
Everybody wants to rule the world, actually.
They do. Tears for fears.
I knew what that reference
yes!
was.
Yes! Way to go. All right. Credit my Gen X brothers and sisters for introducing me to their music. But anyway, a China story here. This is a Daily Mail article. I'll share the link here in a moment. Tim found this over the weekend. The FBI director is warning that China's computer attacks are now at a scale greater than we'd seen before, as vulnerable critical infrastructure remains at high risk to be targeted. At a time which many people are concerned about Russia, putting nukes in space and knocking out our military comms. China may actually get to us before that even happens, if what the FBI director is saying is true.
Listen, most of the time, I'll say 90%, 95%, I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out there. Doomsday predictions never come true. You know, the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. That sky never does fall, even though we got people who make a lot of money, preachers and otherwise, who are always claiming this, you know, the end is now.
Right.
So buy my
new book.
Or my survival kit.
Buy my new book about how the end is this year, not 5 years ago when I wrote my last book.
About the end, But yes, right.
That's a little cynical. But
right. Now, but however, having said that, there is reason to be prepared, if you can be, in the event that the, quote, grid goes down in America. It would affect the world. But listen, this is the Federal Bureau of Investigations director in our country, Christopher Wray. Was that a testifying before Congress?
Yes.
Okay. And he's saying that, do you have his quote?
Actually, I need to correct myself. He gave this warning at the Munich Annual Security Conference on Sunday.
Okay. He's saying this out loud to the world, our own FBI director. And what he's saying communist China has a lot of people working on the ability to disrupt our, what did he say?
It's one of many such efforts by the Chinese, he told the conference. He added that China is increasingly inserting what he called offensive weapons within our critical infrastructure, poised to attack whenever Beijing decides the time is right.
Okay, all right. Well, so he's saying we may be vulnerable to attacks. Like, let's just say, for example, that the Chinese, or there are other wicked players in the world,
North
too.
North Korea.
Okay, Iran, North Korea, and others who would like to harass or attack the U.S. For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But let's just say they shut down the cell phone services. I don't know. I don't know exactly how you, what if you, how, you know what I'm saying? What would you do? What would your family do? Where would you go? What would you need to be prepared for things like that in case they do happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds doomsday-ish. Maybe it is, but you know,
we have a plan in place.
You do? Your family does?
Family.
If something like that happens?
Like, not my sisters and stuff. I'm talking about my son.
Immediate family.
Immediate family in this area. We do have a plan. Listen, you're exactly right. There are plenty of evil actors in the world. The Chinese, this comment was talking about their ability to use cyber warfare. But don't forget, we have, at last count, 20,000 young Chinese men nationals of military age who have been seen coming into the country. Mm-hmm. So they may do physical.
You're talking about over the border?
Over that porous southern border. Now, in terms of the Russians with nukes in space, my guess is we already have nukes in space. I'm not as worried about them knocking out those kinds of communications satellites with nukes, because that sword cuts both ways. Same thing with China. But I do think that there is a danger that if China wanted to invade Taiwan, they would create temporary chaos, Tim, that's the word you used, in our country to try to delay our intervention in that invasion of Taiwan long enough for them to take it. And then they'll say, hey, listen, we're going to get to the bottom of how this happened in your country, but don't come to our side of the Pacific because Taiwan is now ours.
Yeah, you know, with respect. Anyway, so before I get into the geopolitical aspects of China for just a minute, the threat that they potentially pose to our everyday way of life, which is what Christopher Wray, the FBI director, was saying, is that China has people and they're working overtime to try to find ways to penetrate our cell phones, our satellites, our what?
computers,
our computers,
banking,
our electrical grid. All those
banking
things.
Is a big concern because a lot of younger people, especially, they don't carry cash. They do Venmo and PayPal and all sorts of things, cash apps. So we don't, you know, if you took away the way we spend money, it would make people lose their mind.
Now, the good thing we have going for us, and understand how I mean this, is that we have some leverage with the U.S., with China, because we're joined at the hip financially. China makes stuff and we buy it.
Yeah.
Huh?
And that's how they're able to do what they do, is the money.
Right. So China, at least you would think, does not want us to stop buying their stuff. So they are not so interested, that is China, communist China, in disrupting American life and disrupting our financial institutions. This is me talking, and people may disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm just saying, to me, it doesn't make any sense for China to want the demise of America, because the demise of America would be the demise of China, okay? They need us as a customer. So that's – hold on a second.
Sneeze coming on. Yeah, that's the permanent demise of America, I don't think, is in China's best interest. The temporary disruption of things in the U.S. to allow them to do what they want to do is probably would be more practical or understandable.
I do think there is evidence that China does want to rule the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean the destruction of America. But it may mean the destruction of America as a capable military force to prevent China from doing what they want to do at their will. Because, listen, the Chinese are invested around the world. They're heavy into Africa. And the reason they want to go to Africa, the Chinese, is all the minerals and all the resources, the natural resources that they have in Africa that have been, you know, untapped. So does China want global dominance? Yes, they do want global dominance, and they are communist.
Right.
And which means they're totalitarian. The same thing, totalitarianism. Totalitarianism can be more than communism, but certainly it is communism. And so back to my original point, and the point of Christopher Ray is, you need to be prepared. We all need to be prepared as individuals and families for a day that may come when we don't have a bank, we don't have, the ATMs don't work, and the banks shut down, for example, and it may only be temporary, or the electrical grid goes down. What are you going to do? What would you do? Are you just helpless there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Do you have food? Do you have, at least temporarily, those kinds of things?
It is scary, but it's better to have it and never use it or need it than to not have it and need it.
Yeah.
I've joked around about still having the big bucket of rice and the big bucket of beans from Y2K. Okay. I've joked
you
around.
You still have those?
No, we don't have those.
I still got some ramen from college somewhere.
But having enough for a week or maybe even two of non-perishables, along with, you know, with water and medicines you might need, and you know, maybe a little bit of cash or whatever, those kinds of things are increasingly important to have. Not everyone can, you know, get there. But having, if you're able to use guns and need some ammunition, all those kind of things are important to be considering.
That's one of the things, unfortunate things that pops up from time to time when we hear stories like this or we have discussions. There's always going to be that one person in the room that's like, wow, people were freaking out about Y2K and we made it through that, right? Or you guys have seen too many movies. At some point it will happen and a whole bunch of people unprepared for it are going to die.
Yes.
I don't mean to be Captain Doom and Gloom, but
you should be prepared for what could happen, not bother trying to predict what absolutely will happen. Mm-hmm. Nobody can predict that.
Yeah.
But being prepared for what could happen. Listen, in this part of the country, down here in the South, where our flagship station is located for American Family Radio, we frequently have to be prepared for tornadoes. Sometimes winter storms can knock out power for a week. People have to be prepared for those kinds of things.
People up north are laughing their head off right now.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, that 2 inches of snow, that put us down.
That 1994 ice storm is still being talked about in lower Algoma because it was bad for a couple of weeks for a lot of people in Lee, Union, and Pontotoc County.
But you know, all right, next story, Chris.
Well, one person that could deal with China and Russia, and maybe he is, but people have doubts, is President Joe Biden. And the reason I'm going to play this clip is for a number of reasons. Huh? Number one,
Scooby-Doo right there on you.
Number one, the president is on yet another trip to Delaware telling Congress, you need to come home and pass legislation. The other reason I'm playing this clip is many people are pointing to it as yet another gaffe from the commander-in-chief because he meant to say Ukraine, but he went on to say NATO. So he confused Ukraine with NATO, and here he is being a hypocrite saying you need to come home and work when he's not at home working. Clip two.
The idea that we're going to walk away from Ukraine, the idea that we're going to let NATO begin to split is totally against the interests of the United States of America, and it is against our word we've given since all the way back to Eisenhower. So it's about time we make sure that Congress come home and pass the legislation funding NATO. It's critical.
All right, hold on just a minute. What Biden's talking about there. Ukraine is not NATO.
No. It wants to
so
be
quit,
part of.
Quit equivocating. Quit. What am I trying to? What word am I looking for? Quit acting like they are. Mm-hmm. NATO now is Ukraine bordered up? Does it on the border of NATO? Yes, it is. Is that Hungary or what is that?
It borders door? Poland and
some Poland. Okay.
And Belarus to the north.
But Ukraine is not NATO. And by saying that to me, that gives credence to Putin, because that's what Putin says, that you the NATO countries and the United States have promised never to border Russia with NATO member. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I think that's right. And now, you know, so
yeah.
I'm just
Finland
saying.
And Sweden are some of the newer members of NATO, and that was a big stink a few years ago.
And the Baltic states.
Because of the connection with Russia, or the proximity, I should say.
Now, he may be the president, President Joe Biden may be responding to what former President Trump said last week when he said that NATO doesn't pay its fair share. Then I'm just going to let Putin and Russia do whatever they want to NATO. So that may have been a reference to what President Trump had said.
That was a Trump. That was a top 10 as far as crude talk. Right there with Trump. I'm not saying he's wrong for wanting NATO to pay their way, the NATO countries, because when Trump came along and pointed that out, he was right that NATO, you know what I'm saying? NATO countries should pay what they've agreed to pay, just as the U.S. does, to for the common defense of NATO, of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Well, in Germany, in response to what President Trump said last week, Germany has said we're going to up our defense spending. Maybe it's because they figured, well, we better start preparing to defend ourselves. But what
I'm talking about was Trump said, I've told, I'm paraphrasing now, that NATO countries need to pay up or Russia can do whatever they want to with them.
Right.
Whatever the blank they want to with them, he said, I don't care, something like that, to that effect, what Trump was talking about NATO. Listen, does NATO even need to exist any longer, though? You think it was created post-World War II, right, as a deterrent against the Soviet Union?
Because the Soviet Union kept some of the countries in Eastern Europe that they, quote-unquote, liberated from Nazi Germany. They were supposed to. Everyone was supposed to go home and let these countries rebuild. Well, the Soviet Union said, we're going to keep Hungary, Romania, all East Germany.
Russia, which made the Soviet Union, right?
It became the Soviet Union with the communist takeover in 1917. So So the Soviet Union had this block of so-called satellite countries. NATO formed as a counterweight to that to keep the Soviets from just deciding to go all the way to Paris.
Yeah. Something needs to be done in terms of like war policy and spending for eternity to help somebody, because we were in Afghanistan for half my lifetime and we don't have much to show for it. We're giving Ukraine billions of dollars while we have domestic situations here in the U.S. with people saying we need this, we should have that.
Well, listen, the Ukraine is a mess as far as what to do. I don't know. I don't know. I know a lot of people have strong feelings on this. Don't do anything. Don't give any more money. Let right. Ukraine be. Let Russia have Ukraine. Yeah. That's what a lot of people felt.
Yeah, they're saying I don't want my kids fighting.
Well, I don't want Ukraine. Either. I would right. agree with that, but I'm talking about funding them. I'm talking about giving money to Ukraine so they can defend themselves against Russia. A lot of Americans, especially conservative Americans, say no more money. Let them die, but because it isn't our fight.
Right.
I'm not talking about sending U.S. Right. troops in. I'm talking about let them go because it's not our fight. It's not NATO's fight.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand that sentiment, but on the other hand, I'm going, wow, I don't know. Just let Russia swallow up a sovereign country.
Right.
And maybe so. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the way we need to. But what happens if he goes? Putin goes the next step and goes after Poland.
Right.
Maybe that would engage because that would involve.
It's a NATO
country. But anyway, you know, you're talking about billions of dollars of American taxpayer dollars here.
On a regular basis.
The latest bill was 60 something billion.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Something like that they were proposing giving to Ukraine. And what's the accountability in Ukraine?
Right.
For this money that we give them. I understand all that. Those are legitimate questions. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.